Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Samach Beis. We are on the very, very bottom on Samach Alef Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Amar Rav Nachman. Continuation in the Gemara's discussion regarding kashrus of birds. What have we been learning yesterday? And since the parak of Elu Trefus began the discussion of simani kashrus regarding birds. So basically, here is the outline of the information. Our Mishnah takes us back to. The sugya takes us back to Nun Tes Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah over there goes through all the simani behema, all the animals and the various simanim which identify whether it is or it is not kosher. So, included in all the including in the behemas are behema chaya, those are large animals, ofos, those are the birds, dogim, fish, and shratzim, and specifically grasshoppers. And so the Mishnah goes through, it's a short Mishnah, but it goes through all the simanim of the animals. Now, noted already a number of times that when it comes to behemah and chaya, so the Torah gives us the simanim. The Torah tells us exactly what characteristics to look for in terms of identifying whether the animal is kosher or not kosher. And so once we see the simanim, so we know the animal is kosher. So when it comes to behemah and chaya, so it's split hooves and chewing of its cud. It gets more detailed than that, but that's for our purposes right now. That's a wonderful summary. When it comes to the birds, so here it gets very complicated. From the Torah's perspective, it's not complicated at all. The Torah identifies 24 birds that are not kosher, and the rest of the birds are in fact kosher. That's the that's from the Torah. However, the Chachamim put together a series of characteristics to look for in terms of identifying a kosher from a non-kosher bird. And how did the Chachamim arrive at that? So that we saw together in yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, so we looked at the prototypical non-kosher bird. What is the prototypical non-kosher bird? So it's the Nesher. We've already pointed out numerous times throughout the last couple of days that we are a little bit hamstrung in this entire Gemara, and that we really don't know the true identity of so many of these birds that are being discussed in the Gemara. So even as we talk about the prototypical non-kosher bird, so it would be wonderful if we could identify, if I could tell you, what bird that exactly is. We don't exactly know. Could be an eagle, could be a vulture, it's unclear. But regardless, however, what we could say definitively is that the Bryson yesterday's daf pointed to the Nesher as a prototypical non-kosher bird, where it lacks all four simanim of what would make a bird a kosher bird versus a non-kosher bird. And that means to say, said the Braisa, that all you need is just but one of the simanim, and the bird, in fact, would be a kosher bird, provided, of course, that it's not one of the 24. Now, let's be clear. What exactly are the simani kashrus when it comes to a bird? So we've been going over this a lot lately. Let's review. It's one behavioral simon and three anatomical simanim. The one behavioral simon is it's an eino dares. It has to be a bird which is not a dares. Now, what does that mean? Again, it gets complicated. The Gemara never gives a clear definition of what it means that's an eino dares. I've been simply saying over the last couple of days that it is not a predatory bird. Okay, wonderful. But what does that mean exactly? So, it's the Rishonim debate that very issue. There is a Rashi and the Mishnah back on the test. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside for an eino dares. Rashi says, "Ha'oches b'tziparnav u'magbia min hakarka masha ochel." Grabbing with its claw, with its talon, and lifts it up from the ground that which it plans to eat. Okay, not a super descriptive way of describing a bird which is a dares. There's a Rashi also coming. There's another Rashi that also gives a somewhat similar description coming up over the course of today's daf. I'll show it to you a little bit later on. But anyway, but that's Rashi's basic idea. The Tosos back on yesterday's daf in Samach Aleph. So he quotes Rashi, and he does not like Rashi. He quotes the Peshat of Rabbeinu Tam. The Tosos in Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. It is the third Tosos on the Amud. Umefarsh Rabbeinu Tam Doris Va'ochel Mechaim Ve'enu Mamtim Lo Achitamas. The definition of a predatory bird is that it eats its prey without waiting for the prey to die. So in other words, it will bite into its prey even while still alive. Definition of a predatory bird. And that's not it. Those are not the limited definitions of what it means to be a dares. Okay, but for our purposes right now, once again, that's just a basic idea. So that's one behavioral simon of a kosher bird, it's an eino dares, and obviously the opposite for a non-kosher bird. It is a dares. And then there are three anatomical simanim, and they are that a kosher bird is going to have a zefek, it's going to have a crop, it's going to have a korkovan, a gizzard. The crop is the pouch that is just short ways down after the esophagus begins. It's a holding pouch, which holds the food. Some grinding of the food occurs in the zefek, not a whole lot. And then it goes down further, and it goes into the korkovan. What's described anatomically as the gizzard, it is basically the stomach of the bird where digestion takes place. So one anatomical sign is that it has a zefek. A second anatomical sign is that it has a korkovan where it's oros niklaf, where you could peel the inner lining of the gizzard. So that means to say that if you poke the gizzard inside out, so its inner lining just simply peels right off. It comes right off. Take it off with your fingers. Okay, I don't have a gizzard in front of me right now for show and tell. And we'll see a little bit later on in today's daf. There's going to be some debate in terms of the ease of pulling off the lining off the gizzard stomach, and that's going to be somewhat of a debate. How easy does it have to be? Coming up a little bit later. And the third of the anatomical simanim is that it has to have etzba yaser, it has to have an extra finger, an extra claw, an extra talon. Now, where exactly is that in the bird? Once again, not clear. The Rishonim debate this very issue. Rashi describes the extra finger that exists at the on the back end of the bird, facing in the other direction, not the front of the bird. And the Rambam seems to be giving a different description of what exactly is the etzba yaser. So I understand there are a lot of unknowns in this whole discussion. And it does make the Gemara more abstract and less concrete, which is unfortunate, because obviously this is very halach lamaisa, meaning we're talking about now which birds are kosher, which birds are not kosher, a very practical discussion. But for our purposes in terms of the daf, it becomes less concrete and more abstract simply because we lost a lot of the definitions of what the birds are, what the simanim are, and I understand it gets a little bit tricky in doing all this. What else did we learn yesterday? I know it was a lot of summary. What else did we learn yesterday? We learned yesterday that of the 24 birds that are enumerated in the Torah, so you have the Nesher, which basically stands in of itself. Why? Because it has none of the Simanic Ashras. It's 0 for 4. It, behaviorally, it's a Dores, and anatomically, it lacks the three Simanim that we just specified. After that, where do we stand? So we're going to work our way up, meaning we are going to now identify two of the birds mentioned in the Torah, the Peres Vazniya. They have one of the kosher simanim. They have but just one of the kosher simanim. Now, in the Gemara, as in the Rishonim, here's the part that also is a little bit unclear. When the Gemara says that the Peres Vazniya has one of the kosher simanim, is it talking about the anatomical simanim, or is it talking about the behavioral simanim? It sounds like from Rashi, I'll show you the Rashi a little bit later on today, sounds like from Rashi that for all 24, they are adores. Meaning behaviorally, they all are predatory birds. We could say that about every one of the birds. It's just now a question of which of the anatomical simanim they have or lack. That's the way Rashi makes it sound like. I know that's not agreed to by all the Rishonim, but again, for our purposes, that's the way we're going to approach the Gemara today. So that means to say that according to Rashi, now the Peres Vazniya, so it's a dares, it's a predatory bird, meaning behaviorally it behaves like a predatory bird, and it has one of the kosher simanim. Now, which one of the kosher simanim does it have? The Gemara doesn't say, clearly. Again, I can show you a little bit later on this morning an indicator in terms of which one it has. We do know this, however, the Peres Vazniya, each one of them have one of the kosher simanim, but they don't share the same kosher simon. That we saw in yesterday's daf. It's like a puzzle that we're putting together. And then the Orev. The Orev, again, one of the 24 birds enumerated in the Torah, it also stands by itself. Why? Because it has two of the kosher simanim. So that means to say, again, I'm going to approach it like Rashi, it is a predatory bird, it's a dares, and it's got two of the kosher simanim. Again, which ones do they have? Not clear. The Gemara does not say it with clarity in terms of which ones they have. And then finally, you have the other 20, meaning there are 24 in total. The Nesher has none. Peres Vazniya have one. The Orev has two. And then there are the remaining 20. The remaining 20 have three of the Simanei Kashrus. They have three anatomical signs of Kashrus. and yet they are not kosher. Okay, good. That is what we learned in the course of yesterday's daf. With all that stated, we can now begin. I'm Rav Nachman. We are on the very bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis with a halachic statement by Rav Nachman. Hayabaki Bahenavish Mosayim. Let's say you are an expert in birds. You know both the what identifies the birds, and you also know their names as well. You see the top Rashi on the Amud, Hayabaki Bahen, Beperes Vazniya, Viodea Mikari Peres Vazniya. So in other words, you happen to know your birds, and you can easily identify the Peres Vazniya. Now, we're going to be learning in the course of today's daf that it's not that easy to identify the Peres Vazniya. They don't inhabit civilized populations. So they live out in the wilderness, and so to, you know, if you're a bird watcher, you know, oh, we just saw the very rare Peres and the very rare Azniya. So if you do know them, says Rav Nachman, so then Ofa Baba Siman Echad Tahor. So then let's say now you have a bird that comes to you and has one siman. It has one sign. So now you know what? You know it's a kosher bird. Because consider, as we have stated in yesterday's daf, a kosher bird is simply anything that is not the nesher. Nesher is the prototypical non-kosher bird, which means to say now the nesher has none of the simani kashrus. So that means to say that all you need is one of the simani kashrus, and that now identifies as a kosher bird. However, with the proviso that it's not any one of the 23 other birds listed in the Torah. What do we know about the Peres Vazniya? As we established in yesterday's daf, it has one of the kosher simanim. So it could be misleading. It could be confusing. You can have a bird in your hand that has one of the simani kashrus, and meanwhile, if it's the Peres Vazniya, it's not kosher. So very good. So what Rav Nachman tells us is that if you know your Peres, and you know your Azniya, and you're holding a bird and it has a simon kashrus, and you know that you know for sure it's not the Peres, not the Azniya, so therefore it is a kosher bird, and therefore you can eat it. So, but lo yabaki behem of Ishmael, but continuing Rav Nachman, if you don't know the Peres Vazniya, and you cannot positively identify what is the Peres Vazniya, so b'siman echad tamei. So, if it has one siman, so now you don't know. You simply cannot identify it as a kosher bird, and therefore it's not, you can't eat it. Meaning we're not saying definitively it isn't kosher, but you can't say definitively it is kosher. B'shnei simanim tahor v'hu shiakir orev. So the Gemara says, now continuing in Rav Nachman's halacha, let's say you come across a bird that has two simanei kashrus. So now, same rule, but now we're going to use the orev. Because as we learned in yesterday's daf, the orev has two simanei kashrus. So once again, now you come across a bird that has two simanei kashrus, so you know it's kosher, provided that you know for sure that it's not the orev, period. Okay, so far we've gone through the rules of Rav Nachman, and again, it's just basically, it's taking yesterday's daf, and it is just a logical conclusion based on yesterday's daf. Gemara continues. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Orev v'sulo. You mean to tell me that the orev is the only bird that exhibits two simanei kashrus and is not kosher? There are other birds as well. V'atanya. How do I know there are other birds? Because orev zu orev limino. If you carefully read the Torah, you'll see that it says orev limino. Now, the orev obviously is identifying the orev, the raven. And again, I say raven, but with hesitation. We don't know for sure that the orev is a raven. Anytime I give any of the definitions of the birds, we really don't know for sure. But it's popular to describe it as a raven. So the Vatanya orev is the orev limino. So, and the Torah also says limino and its type. Well, what does that mean? So Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Lahavi, says zarzir. So Rabbi Eliezer says, oh, it's including the zarzir, the famed zarzir. That's not that famous, I admit. But the zarzir is a bird that is like the orev. Now, how is it like the orev? Well, first of all, Rashi does identify which bird it is in French. You could see Rashi for if that helps you. It does not help me. But anyway, the zarzir, says Rabbi Eliezer, falls under the category of limino. And therefore, it's a subspecies of orev, for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment why it's a subspecies. But it's a subspecies of orev, and therefore it's going to be elsewhere. So Amar lo le Rabbi Eliezer. Now, in the Braisa, we're still in the Braisa. In the Braisa, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't think you're right. V'alo anshei kfar tamarta shebi Yehuda ayu ochlen osam m'nei sheyesh lahem zefek. And so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, this bird, the Zarzir, is a staple food. It's a diet. It's a dietary regular amongst the people who live amongst Yehuda, and they eat it. They do find that it has a zephik, it has a crop, and therefore they're very comfortable eating it. And Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer says, I got bad news for you, and I got bad news for them, and that is Avena Simli Tenas Adin. They're gonna have to answer for that after 120 years, right? When they meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu after 120 years, so that it's gonna be unfortunate that on their right on the balance sheet of what they did good and what they didn't do good, so that they did eat the zarzir, and Rabbi Eliezer says it's not a kosher bird. Okay, now those are strong words by Rabbi Eliezer, but that's fine, right? We've seen strong words by Rabbi Eliezer before. That doesn't. It's not surprising. Now, Davar Achir, now, we're still in the Brisa, so let's just finish up the Brisa. Now, we have either it's Limino or Liminehu. Now, the difference is that Limino is still going on the Orev. If it's Liminehu, so then it's not talking about the Orev, it's talking about one of the other 24 birds that has along with it, attached with it, the word Liminehu. But in any event, Lahavi Snunis Levana. So we're including another type of bird, which also falls under the category of a non-kosher bird. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, and again the same response. Amru lavalo hanshel galil hal yono chlenoso mimnei shekarkav no niklav. And so they say to Rabbi Eliezer, again the Chachamim said, we have people up in the galil who are eating this bird on a regular basis, and look, they found a simon kashrus to it. In other words, the gizzard, the inner lining of the gizzard peels off nice and easy. So amru lahem afei nasinim litenas adin. And again, Rabbi Eliezer does not back down. He says, okay, and after 120 years, so they're going to have to answer for that, meaning they should not be eating such a bird. So, what the Gemara quoted the Brisa, the point of the Brisa is that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not just the Orev that's going to be prohibited. It's going to be the Orev, and it's going to be these other birds as well. It's going to be the Zarzir, it's going to be the Snunis Levana. So, when Rav Nachman says that you have to be a baki b'henu v'shmosehem, so it's you don't have to just be an expert in Orev, you have to know about other birds as well. The Gemara therefore says, okay, but it's not so hard to defend Rav Nachman, ela Orev v'chol min Orev. So the Gemara says, fine, so in defense of Rav Nachman, we're going to say, nothing changes, we're just simply going to be, what do you have to be an expert in? You have to be an expert in Orev, and you have to be an expert in Mino Shel Orev, all the subcategories of Orev. Okay, good. The Rashi over here writes, Mimnei Sheyesh Lahem Zefek. So Rashi writes, why is it that the Zarzir is a subspecies of the Orev? Really interesting, Rashi, it's based on a Gemara. Rashi writes, Mimnei Sheyesh Lahem Zefek, Ve'ein Zeh Me'osen Shnei Simanim Sheba Orev. This is not one of the two Simanim that the Orev exhibits. U'mikom makom ein lo ela shnayim. But it only has two. So interesting. So Rashi writes over here that as far as the proof that the Bnei Yehuda had for eating the Zarzir, it does have two simanim, but we know it's not the Orev because they knew which two simanim the Orev had, and this Zarzir does not have one of those two, meaning it has a different one, i.e. it has a Zafek, which then would indicate, according to Rashi, that, and it's great, by the way, there are a lot of puzzle pieces in today's daf. That would indicate that according to Rashi, the Orev, which two simanim does it have? So Korkav HaNiklaf, the inner lining of the gizzard can be peeled, and Etzbe Yaseira, right? Because again, we're assuming that we're talking not about the behavioral simanim, but we're talking about the anatomical simanim. So that means that's what the Orev has. And then, again, if you really want to go research it, so then you open up a raven, and you see, well, you know, if in fact this is the case. But again, we are not talking about the raven, we're talking about the zarzir over here. So good luck to all of us, you know, trying to figure out what the zarzir is. But anyway, And as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, Rabbi Eliezer is unmoved. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that since the zarzir, generally speaking, hangs with the Orev, so therefore, because they are collectively together, they migrate together, they live together, so Rabbi Eliezer says, it is therefore now part of the Orev family. Uchid Detanyan, the Gemara quotes, Rashi quotes the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo al chinam zarzir holoch etzal rev, el mimeshu umino. You know why they migrate together? You know why they hang together? Because the zarzir is a subspecies of the orev. Really interesting. Now, it comes out, according to Rashi, that birds, even though they may not be sharing the same anatomical features one to another, nevertheless, if they are living together, if they migrate together, so then that is an indicator that they are of the same family, even though anatomically not the same. Okay. In of itself, an interesting Rashi. Anyway, so what do we have so far today? We have the statement of Rav Nachman, which is that as long as you can know what the Parasanaznia is, and you come across a bird with one of the Simani Kashrus, and you could reject that it's not the Parasanaznia, enjoy it. And the same thing is true regarding a bird that has two Simanim. As long as you know the Orev and its subspecies, so then you know, and you know that this bird is not the Orev and its subspecies, so again, Rav Nachman says you can go ahead and you can eat it. That is so far the ruling of Rav Nachman. Amar Ameimar, Hilchasa, Ofa Baba Simanecha Tahor, Vuhu Delo Daris. Ameimar says that the halacha is that if you have a bird, B'siman Echad, that has one kosher sign, it is Tahor, Vuhu Delo Daris, provided, of course, that it is not a predatory bird. And this is where we see the Rashi very clearly. The Vuhu Delo Daris, the idea that we articulated this in the beginning of the daf, that according to Rashi, all 24 birds that are enumerated in the Torah are daris. They are predatory birds. So in terms of the behavioral siman of being predatory in nature, so that is shared by all 24 of them. Then after that, the simanim that we're looking for are the anatomical simanim. So you come across a bird with one of the anatomical simanim, as long as you know that's not a dares, so go ahead and enjoy that bird. Now, what about the fact that it may be a parasvaznia? Meaning, Ameimar seems to be arguing with Rav Nachman, and I'll say it even clearer. He is arguing with Rav Nachman. So what about Rav Nachman, and what about Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman said that you can only eat it if you can positively identify that it's not the parasvaznia. And Ameimar doesn't seem to be bothered by that. Gemara goes on to explain. Amalei Rav Ashi Ameimar had Rav Nachman, my... What are you going to do with the ruling of Rav Nachman? And his response is, Amarle, lo shmili, klamar lo svirli. He says, I don't hold of Rav Nachman. Meaning, Ameimar simply disagrees with Rav Nachman. You see one of the simani kashrus on the bird, it's not the peres vaznia, and you don't have to be a bucky. Why not? So, my ika, mishim peres vaznia, les no be yishuv. So, the reason why is because the peres vaznia do not inhabit populated areas, and so you come across a bird, it's not going to be the peres vaznia, simply because they are not indigenous to populated areas. They live out in the wilderness. And so therefore we're not going to come across the parasvaznia. So you come across a bird, with one siman, it's not a parasvaznia, meaning they're out there, but not here. And so therefore, what is it? It's therefore a kosher bird. Yeah. I mean, I happen not to know of whether it exists or doesn't exist. So, in theory, I mean, we're going to see again and again in the course of today's daf that they looked to the simanim in terms of identifying kashrus. Meaning, it wasn't just simply a misar. In other words, we operate with misar now. Back then, they really looked at the simanim in terms of whether or not identifying was kosher or not kosher. Amar of Yehuda. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the first part of today's daf. Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Ameimar. It is a big machlokes, but in other words, but really they're more or less agreeing to one another. The idea that if you find a bird, you come across a bird with one siman, again, according to Rashi, the bird had to begin with has to be an enodaris. It has to be a non-predatory bird. Good. But once we're there, so then all we need to discover now is one siman, and you can go ahead and eat it. And the only disagreement between Rav Nachman and Ameimar is, are we concerned that it may be the peres vaznia? Rav Nachman says, we have to be concerned about that. Therefore, you have to positively identify it's not. And Ameimar says, no, you don't have to worry about that because they don't inhabit populated areas. And so therefore, it's not a concern. So there's more agreement than disagreement between Ameimar and Rav Nachman. Continuing in the Gemara, we're halfway down on Samach Beis Amad Aleph, Amar of Yehuda. Ofa Misari Kashla Taras Mitsara. If you have a bird that scratches, so it would be acceptable for Taharas HaMetzora. Taharas HaMetzora, we know the purification of the Metzora, the process in which it is it's a 8-day process, and the first day, so you take two birds, one of them you shech, the other one you're going to let go free, and of these two birds, they have to be kosher birds. And the Gemara over here is just simply pointing out that if, let's say, it scratches, so it would still be okay for Taharas HaMetzora. Vizui Sinunis Levana. Now, when we're describing a bird that scratches, so what is it? So it's the Snunus Levana. Now, you remember, that was a controversial bird. That was the one where the Chachamim pointed to the Anshe Galo, who said that they ate that bird, and Rabbi Eliezer said, Asid Litain Es Hadin. That's not good that they're eating that bird. But the Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it's kosher. Now, Amar Meimar Bechivr Karsa Kuli Amalo Pligi Desharya. Now, in terms of this particular bird, if the belly is white, so then there's not even a disagreement between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim that such a bird, in fact, would be kosher. Ki pligi bidi yiroka, kresa. If, let's say, the belly is yellow, that's the machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer, aser Rabban Sharu. So here we have a machlokas between the Tanayim, Chazaka Rabbi Eliezer. And in this first version, a yellow-bellied, snunis levana, which, by the way, it's a little bit strange. Meaning it's called the Snunus Levana, and meanwhile the belly is yellow. Okay, but the Gemara is going to point that out. So in the first version, that is what is open for controversy between these Tanayim. And, interesting, in the first version, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. That's interesting because, generally speaking, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. But that is in the first version. The Gemara gives an alternative version of this discussion. If it is a yellow-bellied snunis, so then no disagreement. Everyone is of the opinion that it would in fact be aser. The machlokus is what the white-bellied. Rabbi Eliezer aser rabban sharu. So here we have the machlokus. Rabbi Eliezer says it's forbidden. The chachamim say it's motivei chesak rabbanan. And in the second version, so we side with the opinion of the chachamim that the white-bellied snunis would, in fact, be mutter. Disharu. Bishlam laman damer bechivri karsa pligi haina diktani zui snunis levana. And the Gemara now raises the question, it's an obvious question, which is, it's the second version, just, it's much easier to hear, because we're talking about the white-bellied snunis, and therefore it's called the snunis halavana. That makes a lot of sense. But elaman damer bediroka pligi maizuhi snunis halavana. But if you're telling me that it's a yellow-bellied snunis that they're arguing about, why are we describing it as the snunis levana, the white snunis? So la afuke de bati duchmati. So the Gemara says, well, it's just contrast. Meaning it could very well be that the belly's yellow, and it's called the snunis levana because there's another species which is black, and so yellow compared to black is more whitish in nature. So in other words, it's just simply by way of contrasting the black to the white. But you don't have to take the word Levana here super literally. Amar Rachva Amar Rav Yehuda Taso Pasol Mishum Torin V'Kasha Mishum B'nei Yona. Okay. Before we start with the next Gemara, just a very brief introduction. So as we pointed out, the vast majority of the birds of the world are kosher. In fact, in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to say it very clearly, that the majority of the birds in the world are kosher. There are 24 that are not kosher, and again, that's what we're learning today in terms of helping us identify which ones are and which ones are not kosher. In terms of karbanos for the Mizbeach, so your list of birds which are eligible for karbanos on the Mizbeach really shrink down. There are only two birds that can be brought as a karban on the Mizbeach, the Tur and the Ben Yona. Now, not that long ago, back in Menachos, we learned the halacha, that in terms of the Tur and the Ben Yona's concern, so what is the difference between them? And that is maturation. At what point in the maturation and the development of these birds can they be offered as a karban? The tur can be offered as a karban only when it's mature. And the ben yona can only be offered as a karban when it's immature. And if you remember back then, we gave ways of identifying maturity. It has to do with the coloring of the bird. So good. So anyway, so Amar Achva, with all that stated, Amar Achva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Tassil. So the Tassil is a type of a Yona. And Pasul Mishum Tarm, B'Kashim Mishum B'nei Yona. So it cannot be brought as a Torah, but it can be brought as a Ben Yonah. Now, why is that significant? Right? For us, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Mizbech, we're not going to be offering as a Karban. But if we did, so it's significant because once it falls under the Yonah category, so that means it can only be brought in its immature state. Mishum B'nei Yonah. De'atzifei, V'turin Shel Rachva, K'shem Mishum Tarim, P'sul Mishum B'nei Yonah. The bird of the Atzifa and the Torrent Shel Rachva, some sort of whatever, another type of tour. So they fall under the category of tour, and therefore they can only be brought as a tour, and they cannot be brought as a benyona. And again, same point, just the opposite. So that means to say that they can only be brought when they're mature, not when they're immature. Good. So what we just learned together is there are a couple of birds that fall under the Yonah family and a couple of birds that fall under the Tor family. Now, Masav Rav Daniel by Rav Kitina, right? We don't see the Rav Daniel come up that often in the Gemara as a name of a Tana nor an Amora. Masav Rav Daniel by Rav Kitina, Kola Ofos Poslin Mechatas Chutz Min Hayonah Mimnei Motzetzes. So, all the birds are going to be disqualifying water for Mechatas. As we turn now to the top of Samach Beis Amud Beis. So that means to say that if you see bird drinking from water, which we put aside as mechatas, as a spring water, to go with the paraduma, the ashes of the paraduma, so and bird drinks from it, so you're going to have to get new water. You can't use this water. Why can I not use this water if it was drunk on? It was drunk by some bird? We're not ingesting that water. We're sprinkling on a person whose tummy. What exactly disqualifies that water to be used for the paraduma tahara process? So if you take a look at the top Rashi and Samach Beis Amud Beis, the Rashi writes, "Im shasu mehem im neshehin motzitzin." If they drink from it, the reason why it's going to be pasul is because when they drink, I'm sorry, im neshehin motzitzin, because they don't just simply suck the water in which they're going to drink. Ela magbin pien laachar shekoltos zamayim. What happens is as follows: they take a little bit of a sip, but they basically take a mouthful. And then what happens? Some of the water goes into their mouth, and some of the water comes out now. And it's as if there was malacha that was done to this water. And we know, the Gemara in Gittin, Rashi quotes it, malacha posasan, that if you work the water, if you do a malacha together with the water, so that disqualifies the water. Now, we know that's true by the animal, that the Torah says very clearly, paraduma cannot have been worked, but neither can the water as well, as per the Gemara and Gittin. And so therefore, it's a little bit hard to visualize. It's a little bit hard to understand. But Rashi's understanding of the Gemara over here is that is why this particular water is going to be possible for the paraduma. What does that have to do with our discussion over here? Why is this a kasha on our discussion? So the imisa, so the Gemara articulates. We're on the top of Samach Beis Amud Beis. Second line down. The imisa lifnei chutz miyona v'tasil. So the Gemara says, so now, you're telling me, you just told me that the Tasil is one of the Yonas. It can even be brought as a carbon, as a Yona. Just make sure to bring it in an immature state, like the Yona is supposed to be brought. But meanwhile, in this Mishnah in Para, so we are putting the Yona in its own separate category. Meaning when the Yona drinks, it doesn't allow any of the water to go off the sides of its mouth. But the Gemara's question over here is very simple. Why doesn't the Mishnah and Parah also put in the Tasil, as the Tasil is one of the categories of a Yonah? So Amar Rav Zera, the answer is very simple. Zemotzi umeki, but zemotzi v'eino meki. So the Gemara says it's just a question of their behavior. Meaning the Tasil is a subspecies of the Yonah. But in terms of how they drink, they don't drink the same. The Yonah drinks and doesn't allow any of the water to leave its mouth. So whatever it's going to take from the mechatas, it's going to drink and it's not going to disqualify the rest. However, the tasil drinks the water like all other birds, in that it gulps the water and some of the water is going to come out and it's going to disqualify the water. Very simple. I'm Rav Yehuda Hane, Kufshane, Tzutzayni Ksherim, Legabe Mizbech, Vehein Ein Torin Shel Rechva. So Rav Yehuda now also offers another ruling. He points to two different types of birds and they fall under the tour category, and what we described just a moment earlier of the Torah Shel Rachma. So that's what we hear, when I say we hear, meaning here in Bavel, that's what we refer to as the Kushani and the Tzitzani. So they are the same as the Torah Shel, and therefore they can be offered as a karban. Now, it gets us to a very basic discussion. The Gemara has this discussion in numerous places. We saw this back in Sukkah, and that is as follows. The Torah demands a certain species, a certain type. So as a bird to be brought on the Mizbech, it has to be either the Tur or it has to be the Ben Yonah. Good. And it cannot be anything that is any other type of bird. And it also on top of that, has to be the generic Tur and the generic Ben Yonah. Meaning what it can't be is that, let's say, there's a specialized subspecies of Tur or Ben Yonah. That's no good. That can't be used. And so what the Gemara is bothered by over here is that we're talking about these subspecies of Tur. That's very nice. That shouldn't be brought on the Mizbeach, because it's not the generic. It's a subspecies. And Meisvei, and the Gemara asks this question. Now the Gemara asks this question in another arena in Halacha, but it's the same basic point. Ezov velo ezov Yavan, velo ezov Kuchli, velo ezov Rami, velo Midbari, velo kol ezov sheyesh lo shem Levi. When the Torah demands that we use an Ezov, many areas in Halacha where the Ezov is going to be used, all the way back in Egypt, on Lel Pesach, so we had to use the Ezov, but even post that point in time. So many times in Halacha, the Ezov is necessary. Sprinkling the solution of the Paraduma requires an Ezov. The Taras HaMetzora requires an Ezov. Good. The burning of the Paraduma requires the Ezov. Wonderful. So there are many areas in Halacha where we need the Ezov. And the Bryce over here says very clearly, it has to be the generic Ezov. Any of the subcategories of Ezov is no good. So I'm Rabbi, Koshin Hashana Shmo Kodem Matan Torah, V'Kpida Torah, Lav Yesh L'Shem Levi, Pasol. V'Han L'Shana Shman Kodem Matan Torah. So Abai's answer is very simple. Look, if let's say that at the time of the writing of the Torah, 3,300 years ago, circa, there was another species. In other words, there was the Ezov, the generic Ezov, and there was the Ezov Yavan, or the Ezov Romi. And the Torah says, I need Ezov. So that means to say that the Torah is being very clear, it's the generic Ezov as opposed to all these others which are not to be included. However, if let's say after the writing of the Torah, so things tend to end up getting another name to it, an attached name to it, so the Torah is not makpid about that. So Rava Amar Hani Kushani Tzitzani Ba'asrayu Stama Kari Luhu. And Rava says, no, we can give a different answer to solve for the same problem. Meaning, yes, I agree. And it seems that Rav is disagreeing with Abai's general premise. Okay, we could certainly deliberate that point. But Rav says, we don't have to give such a fundamental answer. In other words, what we described earlier, the Kufshani, the Tzitzani, they are the generic Tur. It just happens to be that when they are imported, or I should say better, when they're exported out of their indigenous region, so then people refer to them as the Tur Shel Rachva. But the truth of the matter is that it really is the generic Tur. How do I know that, says Rava? Because when you go to the place where it is indigenous, what do people refer to it as? Simply the Tur. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Hani Karzi Debe Chilfi Sharei Debe Karvi Asiri. Rashi over here says that we're taking a little bit of a left turn over here in the Gemara for just a moment, as we're going to change topics and we're going to talk about the locust. Yes, it's a little bit strange that the Gemara, in the middle of having a detailed discussion about birds, the Gemara now detours and talks about locusts, but that's Rashi's opinion over here, that we're talking about different types of locusts. So, Hani Karzit de Bechilfi Sharei. So the locusts of Bechilfi are in fact permitted, and Debe Karvi, but the ones that grow amongst the cabbage, so Asiri, they're going to be prohibited. Am Ravina Makin Alay Mishum Sheretz Ha'of. And Ravina says that this ruling of Rav Yehuda, don't think that we're unsure about the cabbage locust, that it may or may not be kosher and therefore refrain from it. No, we're sure. We know it's not kosher. It's not a kosher species. You see somebody eating that, you advise him not to. If he's insistent, he can get malchus. We know it's not kosher. I'm Rav Yehuda, Tsar da Sharei and Bar da Asir. And now the Gemara is going to be pointing to other types of birds that are permitted and prohibited. The tsarda the tzarda is going to be permitted and the barda is going to be prohibited. V'simancha bar minei. And a good way to remember this is using the mnemonic of the word bar. What does the word bar mean in Aramaic? It means outside, right? Baraisa. Baraisa means not the canonized Mishnayos, but bara. They're outside of the canon. They didn't make it into the Mishnayos. So the barda is chutz. It's not kosher. Marda sfeika. Now the marda we don't know. Meaning we know what it is. And when I say we, I don't mean us around the table. But back in the day in Bavel, so marda was a species of bird, and they were unclear in terms of whether it was kosher or not kosher. I'm Rav Asi Shimon Sveiko saying, so Rav Asi says that in his day, eight birds were in fact a suffix. And they are chuva chuga sugave harguna tushlami umarda kuchlani ubarnavka. Maisvaikayu, so good. So we've identified all eight birds that were a suffix. What exactly is a suffix? Ofos taharin korkavan niklaf, and utmeim in korkavan niklaf. Look, we know what the simanim are. And of the simanim, of the three anatomical simanim, so one of them is where the gizzard gets peeled. And the peeling of the gizzard would be indicative that the bird, in fact, is going to be a kosher bird. Vehani korkavan niklaf besakina. So, and as far as these birds are concerned, so their gizzards do, in fact, peel. Meaning, if you take the inner lining of these birds, they do, in fact, come off of the gizzard, but with a knife. You can't do it with your hands. So it requires a little bit of help, outside help, otherwise known as a knife. V'ha'i bar ivza, I'm sorry. And as a result of that, so what are we unsure about? In other words, we don't know if it simply passes the test. Meaning, we know what the simen is. The simen is korkavan niklaf, but we don't know in terms of whether or not it's this qualifies as korkavan niklaf, when the only way that the lining of the gizzard can be peeled is only through a knife. Now, I'll come back to a Rashi in just a moment. But let's just finish off this piece of Gemara. The Gemara says, now I know there was this particular goose that it was in the house of Mar Shmuel. And meanwhile, the lining of the gizzard didn't peel. And ve'usve b'shimsha. Now Shmuel, being the scientist that he was, so he says, okay, just wait 1 second. He takes the gizzard, he puts it out in the sun, so and he dehydrates it. Ve'kevin derafe, and now it softens. Ikluf, and the gizzard peeled real easy. And so you see over here that even though the gizzard, the lining doesn't peel right away, but with a little bit of help, and help over here came in the form of the drying by the sun, it peeled. And Shmuel said, it's fine. The Gemara says, okay, but still not comparable. Hasam ki rafe iklif biyada. Hachaf agav derafe lo miklif el besakina. So the Gemara says, yeah, but still there's a difference. Because in Shmuel's using the sun to aid, but all the sun did was just simply soften a little bit. And then when it came time for peeling, it peeled easily with your fingers. That's the litmus test. However, these eight birds that we identified earlier as being a suffix, even you, whatever process you use, it still does not peel unless you use a knife. Now, it does peel away with a knife, but that's the only way it peels away. And so, therefore, we don't know if that, in fact, passes the test of korkavan niklaf. What did we just learn together in the Gemara? That there were birds that, if their gizzards were to be peeled, so then they would be kosher. And if not, they're not going to be kosher. And it's just now a question of whether a knife satisfies the requirement of a peeled gizzard. But in other words, but clearly, the peeled gizzard is, in fact, what allows them to eat this bird. Rashi writes, V'hani korkavan niklaf b'sakina, v'shar shloshes ha'simanem mevoran bahem, u'misafkalan ikiluf hu. So, and as far as the other simanim are concerned, so they were clear, and the only thing left to doubt is whether or not it peeled. So, and that means to say now that because it exhibited all four simanim, if it would have exhibited all four simanim, it for sure would have been kosher. The ilav kilavu ain kan ela shlosha. And if it didn't peel, so then what are we left with? We're only left with three. Uvisafik shar ofus tameim sheishlem shlosha simanim. And now what does that mean? So it means then that it could in fact be one of the 20 birds that we describe, that the Torah describes. Comes out now from this Rashi, super interesting. Rashi writes over here that if you have any bird, and it passes all four of the simanei kashrus, so then you could eat it. Now, it makes sense. It's logical what Rashi's saying. But again, from the perspective of the Gemara, comes out very clearly now that the simanim really are the litmus test in terms of assuring whether or not the bird would in fact be kosher or not kosher. Meaning any bird that has all four simanei kashrus would in fact be kosher. And the only suffix over here was whether or not a peeled gizzard that can only be done with a knife in fact passes that fourth siman. But the Gemara, the Rashi over there on the Gemara, if you remember, Rashi offered a couple of pshatim, but then in the first pshat of Rashi, the Gemara wasn't saying that the Torah is the only one that had it. It's just that if you want to see all four exhibited, so you look at the Torah. But in other words, but there are other birds that have it as well. Okay, as per the Rashi that we just learned over here. Okay, let's do a little bit more for today. We're on Samach Beis Amud Beis. We are more than halfway down in the Amud. Amar Abaye. Tarnagola da'agma chad mishmona sfeikosei v'hainu mardu. The Tarnagola da'agma, the swamp rooster. So it is, in fact, one of the eight sfeikos, and that is the same as the mardu that we described earlier. Amar Apapa Tarnagola da'agma asiri Tarnagolta da'agma sharya. Really interesting Gemara over here. Rapapa says that the swamp Tarnagola is prohibited. The swamp tarnagola saw is in fact permitted. Now the Gemara is interesting. Rashi makes it even more interesting. So, first let me do a little bit more of the Gemara. Rashi v'simanchan, and a way to remember this: amoni v'lo amonis. We know that if you have any member of the nation of Ammon, and for that matter Moab as well, who convert, and so the male and the female, they both can convert. So, who are we allowed to marry? So we're allowed to marry the women, but we're not allowed to marry the men. Meaning, our women cannot marry their men, right? The Gemara in Yevamos, Pasuk in the Torah, Parshas Ki Tse'etse. Anyway, so what makes the Gemara here very interesting is that we have a certain species of bird, and the way the Gemara sounds like is that its male version you are not allowed to eat, and the female version you are allowed to eat. Rashi writes over here, Amoni v'lo amonis. Halacha Ravachas we saw dechsev al dvar shelo kidmu eschem. No, I'm sorry, not that Rashi. The simple pshat of the Gemara is that that we're making a distinction between the male and the female. Take a look at the Baam Tosus over here. Tosus writes, Ein lefarsha nekevim uteres v'azach asar dechala yotzim in atar atar. So Tosus says you can't really say this. You can't say this as being the pshat that you're having one species of bird, the males are prohibited and the females are permitted. It doesn't make any sense. Meaning, how are we going to get to the next generation? The way we're going to get to the next generation is that obviously it's going to be reproduced based on something which is us and something which is mutter, and obviously the next generation is going to be prohibited. So Tosus, therefore, is insistent that what we must be talking about over here are two different species. One species is called the Tarnagola, and the other species is called the Tarnagola Sa. But really interesting that it's...
gender specific.
Right. It's right. The idea that maybe the Gemara is making some sort of distinction between a male versus a female. Rashi seems to indicate that, but again, Rashi's just commenting on Amoni v'la Amonis. Amarav. Shvur andarafta share, piruz andarafta aser. Again, different types of birds. Okay, maybe it may be a form of a parrot. Again, we don't really know. But anyway, the shvur andarafta is permitted, and the piruz andarafta, right? The wild andarafta is prohibited. It's simancha piruz rishia. And how are you going to remember that? Well, it's very simple. You're going to remember it by saying to yourself, piruz rishia. Who's piruz rishia? So he was the most popular gangster that lived in Bavel circa 3rd century, right? Everyone knew about Piruz Rishia. You went to the post office, and there you see a picture of Piruz Rishia. Now, for us, around us, none of us ever heard of him,
right?
Last time, oh, yeah?
Piruz is a feud, which is an author's name.
So the the last time I heard his name was 7.5 years ago. So, so but anyway, anyway, and Amar Rav Huna, we'll do one more for today. Amar Rav Huna Bunya Share and Parva Asir. So the Bunya is going to be permitted and the Parva is going to be Asir. V'simancha Parvam Gusha. And the way to remember that is Parva the magician, popular magician back in the day. Magic, of course, is prohibited. We're not allowed to perform magic. And so therefore, it's a good way to remember it. I'll do one more. Amar Papa Mardu Zagid V'achel Share and Sagid V'achel Aser. So there are two types of Mardu. The one that stands and eats, that's permitted. The one that sits and eats, that's prohibited. V'siman chalos yishachavela el acher. And in terms of a good way to remember it, so the one that bows and eats is prohibited. It's like idolatry. Right? Stay away from idolatry. Stay away from this type of the Mardu. Okay. Amr Shmuel is where we're going to pick it up from tomorrow. We're in the bottom of the Amud.